Welcome everyone to Damage Radio. We're here live on MonkaRadio.com, where music reminds me. You already know me, I'm RC, alongside my guest. He's the MFPW World Heavyweight Champion, who's held this title for over 235 days. He's the 2021 Larry Sharp Memorial Cup winner, 2021 Turkey Slam Rumble winner, hailing from South Jersey, Mr. Eat, Bobby Buffet. Bobby, man, welcome back to Damage, man.
An intro to fit the magnitude of Bobby Buffet. RC, what is up?
Not much, man. Just happy to see you, man. Happy to catch up, man. And I've been thinking a lot of where you came before. You weren't even supposed to win this heavyweight championship, man. And now look at it, 235 days later, you're still on top of the world.
The second longest reigning heavyweight champion of all time. So it's crazy. Like you said, it's crazy. I mean, we go back a year ago today, right? Today's June 1st. I was in the mid card. I think I just challenged Ricky Reyes for the Supersonic Championship a year ago. And fast forward a year, now I'm second longest reigning heavyweight champion of all time. Wins all over the board. It's crazy.
What's one thing you learned these past 35 days?
I would say the biggest thing I've learned is just discipline. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's really a next level of discipline and kind of like just poise you have to carry yourself with as a champion. Like, it's make no mistake. Like, you could tell when somebody's a champion for a reason. You know what I mean? Like, there's methods behind the madness, doing this, keeping it as long as I have. You really have to be on point at all times, honestly.
Definitely. Now, before we get talking about this past Saturday against the Golden Era's Goldie, something really cool that we have to bring up because it doesn't get seen a lot. You guys went to someone's prom and took pictures with a fan of the MFPW. Talk about that experience of giving back that you learned, how important that really is.
Yeah, well, definitely. Like, it's super important because I wouldn't be nowhere close to who I am or what I've been doing if it's not for the fans who support us. You know what I'm saying? Day in and day out. So it's only right. It's only right for me to give back. And, you know, the Sigafoos, the Taylors, they're such a good group of people. You know, it's like it almost makes you want to do more. Like, I wish I could give them the world, honestly, just like, you know, all the other fans I come into contact with at the MFPW. It's just a great group of people.
Definitely. Now, just seeing the smiles on their faces, too, that probably means the world to you.
Every time, you know, like they're kind of my kids without having kids. You know what I mean? Like, I get to experience the joy in their faces without, you know, having to deal with the responsibility of taking care of them 24/7. I could barely take care of myself sometimes, but the fans, the kids, like, you know, they're what it's all about.
This Bobby Buffet would not recognize the Bobby Buffet that I met a long, long time ago, man.
No, not at all. Not at all. There's so much growth, you know what I'm saying, in the past 2 years. I think we met in 2019.
Yeah.
So I'm a little, like, really close to 3 years. I know it was, like, in the summer. Really close to 3 years. The growth that I've experienced is crazy. You know what I mean? Like, I couldn't really say that I pictured myself being in this position 3 years ago.
So this past Saturday, you stepped in the ring with someone you're no stranger with, the Golden Era's Goldie. Tell the fans who couldn't be there or couldn't watch it yet on YouTube how the match went and the outcome.
We beat the hell out of each other, man. Definitely. We beat the hell out of each other. I'm hurting still. You know, we're the two top guys of the MFPW fighting for the championship. And you know, Goldie's a great guy. We got so much history together. We broke into the business around the same time. We trained together. You know what I mean? the respect for each other is there. But, you know, I just can't let him have everything I worked for so easy. So we definitely fought for it, I mean. And the outcome is pretty instrumental. It's pretty simple. We all know Bobby Buffet never leaves the ring without finishing his plate. I am still the world heavyweight champion of the MFPW.
Wow. Now, goalie's no easy task, man. Like, he's been on AEW Dark for a little bit there, and he has big things coming his way, you know, just like you do. And, like, they keep throwing you challenges left and right, then, you know, mystery opponents, but you keep on surprising everybody, man, and doing what you already know you can do.
Yeah, definitely. You know, Goldie, for one, let me just say this off the rip. Goldie is one of the best wrestlers I've ever been in the ring with. Like, no question. I would put him in the top five. But I don't want to sound cocky at all. I don't think I'm a cocky person, but I think my IQ for, you know, just wrestling and being that guy, you know what I mean? Like, I think I'm very innovative. You know, I've been always trying to find a way to break the mold. I want to be one of the best ever. So I'm not a slouch either. You know, I'm just doing what a champion does. Just keep evolving.
So what do you think as a champion in your eyes has to do to keep improving? What was one thing you need to work on, you think?
I mean, there's 100 things, like everything. Like, that's the one thing, like, I think as a champion, I'm super self-aware. Like, I don't think a champion is about being the best wrestler, you know, like the number one best wrestler or the number one smartest, fastest, strongest, best cardio. I don't like best mic work. I think being a champion is just like kind of being able to put all those things together at the right time. You know what I mean? Right. Knowing when to do, when not to do. I feel like self-awareness is like one of the biggest things. Knowing that there's things that I can improve on. You know what I mean? And, right. You know, doing the steps to execute those. I think that's what kind of plays into it more than anything.
So being a locker room leader, you know, and being the heavyweight champion, what's one thing you pride yourself on? Like getting there on time, making sure you're last one to leave, you're available for questions?
Yeah, a mix of the three. Nowadays, I don't really stay as late as I could, but I'm always there early now that I'm in Glassboro instead of Plainfield, you know? It's right. A 20-minute drive instead of a 2-hour drive. You know, being a leader by example, you know, because I feel like that's the best way to do it. You see, I'm the champion. A lot of the students there, they look up to me, especially the new guys. And it's like, okay, well, you know, they see the champ doing something good. Well, maybe they should do it too. You know what I mean? Maybe that will inspire them to do something too. And I'm always available for them. You know what I mean? That's one thing that I didn't really have that much of when I first got into the business. So being available for new people when they first come, I feel like it gives them that extra, you know, assurance that they could do this, you know what I mean? Assurance that they'll have support, because the champ giving you support, you know what I mean? It's like, they must really feel important a little bit.
Definitely. Now, is there a certain match that people might not put on your top five that's on your top five that maybe was one of the matches that, you know, people didn't think that would bring out the best in you, but they did?
We have a couple hidden gems at the factory, especially some people that I've got to have matches with on Arena that haven't really got the flowers they deserve. Like Chris Desmond, hell of a competitor. We have a match on Arena, episode 17. Sean Venor, he's in my top five best wrestlers I've ever been in the ring with.
Really?
We have a match. Yeah. That boy can go. That boy can go. And we had I'm not just saying that because we live together, but that boy can go. Like, we've had a match on Arena, episode 7. And I implore you to watch that match. Those two really are the first two that pop up in my head, but there's a lot of hidden gems at the factory.
Now, being champ comes more responsibility. And you started branching out into wrestling in Connecticut as well as in the Northeast. How has this experience helped you and learned more about the business in doing this?
It helps a lot because, you know, being in front of fresh faces, seeing new styles, kind of knowing what works, what stuff I can do anywhere, what stuff probably doesn't work, you know what I mean? Just helps me be more outgoing. Like, I could see, like, you know, myself reaching out more. I'm networking more. You know what I mean? Meeting new people all over the world. I love it. Okay, if I could travel 24/7 wrestling, I'm a happy man.
Now, do you have any radio friendly road stories that you can share?
Radio friendly? I mean, this one is kind of sad. Like, it's sadder than anything, but I have one. We were me and Hafiz, we were teaming together all over the place, and you know, he's a great guy. Kudos to him, but he's, you know, he's a funny guy. We had a long wrestling weekend. I think we wrestled in Connecticut on Friday night, and then we drove all the way to Delaware, stayed out there the next day, and we had to wrestle in Delaware that Saturday. So now we're finished. We're driving up back to North New Jersey, and I end up falling asleep like very close to our destination behind the wheel. Like,
oh no!
Hit a pickup truck, bam, in the back, and he wakes up. The airbags come out. He wakes up. And he's like, get out the car. The car's on fire. So like, I was asleep when this happened. So like, I wake up through the crash, obviously, but he's already, get out the car. So I get out the car and start running. I'm thinking the car's on fire. I look back, I'm like, oh, it's not on fire. The airbag smoke just came out. So I had to, now here I am, 4 o'clock in the morning, sprinting down the highway to catch the car that I just jumped out of, because it's not really on fire.
No.
Yeah, it was a hectic Saturday.
Did you catch it?
Yeah, I caught it. You know, I'm pretty fast. But I caught it eventually. And it's like, oh my God, such a story, wrestling.
Seriously, and you hit the guy in the back?
It was a woman, yeah. She.
Oh, no.
It was crazy. It was crazy. She was very nice, very understanding for what the situation was. Because, oh my God, I can't even imagine what it would be like if it was like anybody else. You know what I mean?
Definitely. You know, now that you're traveling, you know, and branching yourself out there, let's talk about the business aspect of promoting yourself, putting your brand out there with shirts and different, you know, merchandise. What's the stuff that you learned and what stuff's available for Mr. Bobby Buffet?
I think I've been learning more to engage just with everybody. Like, you know, people, I have a tendency to be kind of humble, so you won't see me do much of, like, at first you really won't see me do much of, like, you know, promoting myself. I mean, Bobby Buffet, like, I'm starting to realize more and more that I'm a brand, you know what I mean? I'm a brand separate. At the end of the day, I'm a brand separate from the Monster Factory, you know what I mean? So, like, Bobby Buffet can be bigger, you know what I mean? So I had to stretch it everywhere I can go, you know, I'm paying for promotions on social media, you know what I mean? Following people who see wrestling, like wrestling, I'm reaching out to them. I was handing out tickets, posting flyers on like businesses around town, you know what I mean? Interacting with people in the town, all types of stuff like that. I mean, it's just a grind. You know, you love your business, you're gonna do everything you can to, you know, promote it, make it bigger.
Definitely. Now we're halfway through the year, man, and you wrestled guys with more experience like Beer City Bruiser, LSG, Ricky Reyes, Goldie. What has this run as champion done for both you in and out of the ring? And who's next?
Sheesh. You know, there's the list of names, the people I can kind of feed off of in the ring is like exponential. I feel like there's so much that I've learned being in the ring with people like Bruiser. I mean, when me and him, when he came to the factory and he blessed me with that awesome match, like, you know, it usually takes me forever to think about what I want to do. Me and him, he did most of it, but he called the match in like a minute and a half. And I mean, he didn't know me from a can of paint besides watching some of my videos. So I'm like, how the heck, I'm trying to pick his brain now. I'm like, how the heck did you do that so fast? Like, he sat down, he's like, yeah, I watched a couple of your matches. I said, we'll do this, this, this. A couple of stuff, fit this in right here. take our time, and then bam, bam, bam. And I'm sitting there like, wow, this guy's good. You know what I mean? So I'm trying to pick his brain, figure out, like, you know, how do you structure your stuff? Same with LSG. He has a very intelligent mind. Goldie has a very intelligent mind. 9 times out of 10, as the champ, like, I'm taking a back seat, listening to what, you know, these other people's ideas are, and kind of just figuring out how to make it my own. You know what I mean? Everybody at the factory, everybody that I've been blessed to work under, they're just so supportive.
And do you think that's why it's been 235 days of being the champ? Because you're humble and you're listening?
Yeah, it's part of the reason, because taking everything I've learned, like, I'll really apply it to the game. Like, I'm really a student of the game. When I'm not wrestling, I'm watching. You know what I mean? When I'm not in the gym, I'm watching. I'll probably be in the gym watching, you know what I mean? Some stuff. So it's like, I'm always learning. I'm always open to figuring out new ways to do the same thing that we do. I'll make it better.
Definitely. So who is on the Hunger Tour that you like to face before the year's over? You need some guys.
Man, I like to face somebody at Impact. I like to get the match that never got to happen. I never got to face Steve Maclin. I was supposed to take the belt from him when I won it. You know what I mean? His flight got canceled, unfortunately. I was supposed to wrestle Cheeseburger before the pandemic. The great CB, the world famous CB, I didn't get to wrestle him. I was supposed to team with Fala Ba. I hope I get to see him down the line. You know, I'd love to run it back with Ricky Reyes. Mm-hmm. You know, I haven't seen him in a while. He left the factory, now he's doing bigger things. But a bunch of guys like that, you know what I mean? Like, I'm looking upwards now. I'm trying to face all the best in the world.
Definitely. Now, we talked about it off air, but not on air. Tell the Damage fans a little bit about your opportunity at Impact.
Oh yeah, man. In March, we got to go be a part of the, you know, the extra crew. And it was quite an experience, honestly. Like, the vibe and the, you know, the atmosphere from everybody around there was just so great, you know. They were welcoming, and granted, you know, we're doing extra crew, so we're just a fly on the wall, and we're really nobody, but, you know, everybody was so nice. The wrestlers were great, you know what I mean? And being a part of that atmosphere, like, right there, made it feel so attainable to me. You know what I mean? Being in that environment always kind of awakens, like, a fire in me. It lights a fire in me. It makes me want to, like, get there now, you know what I mean?
Did you feel like you could go out there right away, seeing the fans out there and watching it from the back?
Yeah. Actually, I got to be ringside. You know, I was ringing the bell for the 2 days. And
wow.
Yeah, it just all felt so attainable. You know, like, I'm picturing like myself in this predicament. You know what I mean? And the crazy part is, we were doing that at 2300 Arena. So now, in 29 days, I'm going to be walking into there as the main event, as the champion. You know what I mean? So hopefully a packed arena.
With Impact superstars, with former Monster Factory stars.
Yeah, so, like, you know, Steve Maclin will be there. You know what I mean? I got to, you know, talk to him a couple times when we were at Impact. D'Lo Brown is going to be there. You know, he's a producer for Impact, so I'm hoping that, you know, my performance could kind of sway the, you know, the vote one way or another.
Right.
I'm excited, but that's kind of the full circle things that I've been experiencing in wrestling since becoming a champion. Here I was working extra crew for Impact at 2300, and now I'm walking in, like I said, walking in the main event at 2300. That's freaking awesome, and in only 3 months' time.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Now, isn't it kind of funny and ironic at the same time that the top guys at the MFPW are all kind of taking over the other companies, like AEW on Dark with Goldie, you with Impact, and the list goes on and on. You know.
Yeah. It's really cool to see. It's really cool to see, but at the same time, this is essentially what we expect out of ourselves by the time we get to the top guy position at the factory. You know what I mean? So there's always guys that come up maybe a little later than us and stuff like that who are ready to break that mold as well. And as soon as they get the opportunity to step in our positions, when we elevate, you know what I mean, they can probably take the ball and run with it just as hard.
Definitely. Now, do you see any future champions right there in the Monster Factory locker room?
Heck yeah. Heck yeah. There's like the pool of talent at the factory is probably the best it's been in a since like the Matt Riddle, Nick Camarado, Damian Priest, all those guys who went to the E and to, you know, those big companies. Like the pool is freaking humongous right now. There's so many different personalities. Everybody has talent. You know what I mean? Like, it's ridiculous. Twitch, Nick Petit, Brian Morris, Mike Z, Chris Desmond, Jordan, Jason Morgan, Hafiz, me, Goldie, Sean, Brett. Like, the talent pool is Jafar. The talent pool is, like, literally endless. Christian Ronco. All those guys. Like, the talent is endless.
Yeah, one name you just mentioned, you just passed, becoming the second longest reigning heavyweight champion of all time at the MFPW. How's that feel, man? Like, you're almost at number one, bro.
Man, Damian Priest was training me when I first started. That's crazy. You know what I mean? And, I mean, let's just say this off the rip. To see what he's been doing since, freaking amazing, the biggest inspiration. Like, oh, my gosh. It's surreal to see. And I saw him at WrestleMania teaming with Edge. No, that lit a fire in my heart. But it's crazy. Like, I'm literally the second longest reigning heavyweight champion of all time. And really, I have the longest, like, I have the most defenses, because the longest reigning champ, Travis Jacobs, he had it during the COVID era. We were shut down. So in all aspects, low key, really, I'm the longest reigning heavyweight champion. You know what I mean? Actively defending, like, I'm really the longest reigning champ, which is pretty freaking awesome.
Now, do you see your paths crossing with Travis Jacobs again?
Yeah, I mean, I challenged him. I don't know. I challenged him, LSG, and Goldie to a fatal four-way for the title at 2300 Arena. So I'll see him on the big day if he's man enough.
Wow.
And my thing is, I've beaten the three of these men in singles competition. I beat him in triple threat competition. And I've already beat him in fatal four-way competition. So I have no problem doing it again on the big stage, show them what it looks like to be a superstar. You know what I mean?
So you don't need no one-on-one, two-on-one, three-on-one, 4-on-1. Bring them all on, and you're confident you will walk out the champ still.
That's a fact. Bobby Buffet welcomes anybody to the table. But they just better be ready to eat everything I'm going to serve them. You know what I mean?
So this hunger tour is not planning on stopping anytime soon.
Anytime soon. I'm taking that record and I'm steamrolling.
So how has your role changed since becoming one of the locker room leaders? You mentioned a little bit about people asking you questions, you know, getting showing up on time. Mentally, though, do you feel different?
Yeah, 100%. Like, I feel like there's a tremendous amount of pressure in a good way for me to deliver 100% of the time. Because if I don't, then anybody can take that position from me. You know, like, I'm learning new things that I didn't do before. Like, I'm making myself available at the factory. Like, I know our daily routine at the factory. We do warm-ups, and there's always usually someone who leads it, the jogs, the stretches, the rolls, and all that stuff. And even though I can lead, you know, I was never the guy to, like, present myself as the forefront. Just because I don't need to. You know, I didn't feel like I needed to. But as a champion, as a locker room leader now, now I'm making myself more available in that aspect. You know, I'm giving people advice. I'm telling people what they should and shouldn't be doing. I'm giving direction. You know what I mean? This is stuff that I didn't think was really that important being a champion, but I'm realizing more and more it is important. You're going to be a locker room leader to actually be seen in that light. You know what I mean?
Because now you got the eyes on you, not only, you know, in a in a positive light, but also they're looking for negatives too. And you got to make sure you're always on point and always, you know, whether inside the factory, but also outside the factory, that you're representing yourself at the most highest potential.
Yeah. In a weird way, it's like, I can't do the same things that everyone else is doing, because then my job will seem very much more attainable to them. And it's not. You have to work really hard to reach the position where I'm at right now. You know what I mean?
Definitely. And you just recently talked to us a little bit about moving. Now you're in South Jersey instead of Plainfield. How has that transition been for you?
It's been crazy. You know, like, there's a lot of things that are different about Glassboro than Plainfield, definitely. Like, for one, I don't have to look over my shoulder 24/7. And that's probably the best part about it. You know, that accompanied with the way shorter drives. You know what I mean? I have more time in the day. I feel like I could do more. But, you know, the transition was rough because, you know, I grew up my whole life in Plainfield. It's what I know. So leaving all that behind, kind of at the drop of the hat, you know what I mean? It was a little overwhelming for, like, you know, a couple of days. Add on the fact that the same day I moved, my uncle passed away.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So it was kind of, you know, super bittersweet. Like, I just moved in this house and all this BS happened. I'm leaving my mom. Hey, she's really close to my uncle, you know what I mean? So, and I was too. You know, he was one of my biggest supporters. He bought a Bobby Buffet shirt. He bought his son a Bobby Buffet shirt. My cousins, he bought them all Bobby Buffet shirts. And he was just a big supporter from the get-go, and I didn't have many. It was a little overwhelming, definitely. But all in all, let's get off a little somber. No, all in all, the move has been very pleasant. My house is way bigger in Glassboro than it was in Plainfield. I could tell you that more.
Nice. Now, are you learning on how to balance social life still and with work life, with wrestling and everything?
Yeah, it's a little easier out here, I would say, because, you know, even working 40 hours a week virtually, and then, you know, wrestling about 15 hours a week, you know what I mean? I still now have time to do all these things that I like to do. So I feel a lot more energized. I feel a lot more motivated because I have the balance to do it all. Now, that is very important. It's way more important than I thought it would ever be. You know what I mean? But, like, I get the chance to hang out with people. I get the chance to do what I want to do, relax. But also get the time to grind. Like, I can do more. Like, you know what I mean? That's what I love.
Definitely. So, this, you talked about it recently, but June 30th, man. MFEW invading the former ECW arena. You know, we got the card keeps getting bigger and bigger. Tell the fans about who will be there, as well as your thoughts on wrestling in such a historic place.
Oh man, there's like the list of names already on the roster is crazy. Like, Homicide is gonna be there, Ricky Reyes, Rocky Romero, Blue Meanie, Steve Macklin, D'Lo Brown, Mandy Leon, Delirious, Vinny Marseglia. I'm sure the list is gonna go on and on. Like, as we go on, more names are gonna be added to the pool. It's gonna be crazy. I think QT Marshall is gonna be there. You know what I mean? So. To all those names, right, that I just mentioned, all legends, all superstars in their own respective rights. And I get to main event the show of shows as the heavyweight champion. Like, it means so much to me because, you know, everything I've ever dreamed about was to be on a big stage performing to the level that I know I could, you know, to the very best of my ability. And here I am so early in my career getting a chance to do that. You know what I mean? Like, this arena is historic. And here I get the opportunity to make my own stamp in the book of history. I love it.
Now, do you have any favorite ECW moments?
I was a big RVD guy. I was a big Sabu guy. I was a big Tommy Dreamer guy. Sabu was one of my favorites because he just kind of deathified everything. You know, that man was insane. Yeah. That man was insane. I used to think that probably, like, you know, like back in the day before I started wrestling, I used to think, man, that stuff may not hurt that bad. But no, like, now that I'm in the business, Sabu is insane. You know, all the stuff he would do.
Definitely. Now, AEW, Double or Nothing, we saw CM Punk beat Hangman Adam Page for the AEW Heavyweight Championship over 40 years old when he was, you know, talking about, you know, how Brock Lesnar over 40 years old being champion. Now he's actually a heavyweight champion. Talk about AEW's momentum right now and your thoughts on what's going on there.
I think AEW is doing something special just by having another main level, you know, main level entertainment system that, like, you know, they broadcast wrestling on. Because for such a long time, WWE was like the super outlier. And even though it still is, I mean, sure, it is by like kind of, you know, a big gap. AEW is doing something special because it's giving opportunity to more people. You know, something that seems so like huddled up in a box, so unattainable because, you know, everybody can't make it to the one place. You know what I mean? Now there's another big place that people can strive to get to. Just makes things easier. And AEW is introducing a whole new style to like a bigger group of people. You know what I mean? Is it my favorite cup of tea? Not really. But like, I appreciate, you know, and respect everything that AEW's been doing from the get-go.
Do you think they're hiring a little too many former WWE guys? Or do you think it's just the right amount of talent that they have over there right now?
I wouldn't say that, like, them hiring WWE guys is the problem. Because, like I was saying, talent is talent. But, like, you know, you make, at one point, there was really only one company that people are working for. So when they were all working for WWE, you know, when they have too much talent, now they're cutting talent. The next company is going to sign the talent because they see it, you know, like still comparatively to, you know, some of the indie stars on the scene or, you know, people who just aren't as big as a name as these WWE guys. The former WWE guys still low-key have more talent. They're more known. They're easier to make, to build a brand off of because they already kind of have that established sense of worth. Like they've already been in the system. So it makes sense to me. It makes sense to me what they're doing. There is a lot of people over there, though. There's a lot of people working for AEW. That's not a secret. But I think we need more things like AEW, more things blowing up so that it gives everybody an avenue to win.
You know what I mean? Now, seeing a Sloane Jacobs, a.k.a. Mimi, on NXT, seeing Sammy Miami on there, how does it feel seeing guys that you trained with on NXT and stuff like that?
It's surreal. Like, I'm so proud of them all the time. I miss them 100% from the bottom of my heart. And it makes it seem like I was saying, being so close to that type of stuff makes it feel more attainable. It makes me feel like everything that I've been doing for the past couple of years has been validated. it gives me low-key a goal to work towards because these people started training, although a little bit before me, we all kind of grew up together in the same era. So it's like, all right, now it's my turn. You know, I'm waiting to be next. Waiting to be the next one.
So halfway through the year, what are some goals for the rest of the year still?
One of my biggest goals nowadays, like, I kind of changed up. You know, I know before I used to talk about, you know, hoping to win a championship so bad, which I ended up doing by the grace of God. But my biggest goal now is to just get more exposure, whether that be by traveling all across the country, making a name for myself, or, you know, getting signed somewhere. That's my next goal. I'm looking up to the top. I don't want to waste any more time. I feel like I'm ready.
So June 30th, you put the challenge out there to those three individuals. If you can cut a promo right now, what would you say to them?
If I can cut a promo right now. By the way, real quick, before we do this, you got to watch my promo from the last show. If you could look up the Evolution of Champions main event, it's segregated by itself on YouTube. So, like, you can see the whole show, but then you can also see the main event by itself. At the end of the match, I cut a promo challenging them three to the match at 2300 because, you know, they interfered in the match and all that BS and all that. So, like, if I could tell them something right now, like, it would be the same thing I tell everybody. Because nowadays, you know, the championship is a target on my back. You know, everybody's trying to gun for me. So I tell everybody, the table is open. I welcome everybody to sit at the table and eat with me, Bobby Buffet. But just know this, 100% of the time, your eyes are bigger than your stomach. But you better be ready, because I'm still going to make you eat everything that I'm going to serve you.
The hunger tour is not going to be stopping anytime soon, guys. Bobby Buffet has adrenaline and confidence I've never seen in this man before. So, Bobby, man, I already know what the outcome is going to be.
Yes, sir.
Still, MFPW World Heavyweight Champion. And to all those naysayers out there, man, before we end this, what do you got to say to them?
Watch me.
Easy enough.
Simple.
Easy enough. Watch me. Now, before we let you go, you have a dream match that you want to make sure you do before you hang the boots up.
You know who I really want to wrestle? This is going to be a name that you probably don't know, but this is a guy I met on the Indies in Connecticut, and I think it's a travesty that out of all the bangers that we both put on for same promotions and all that we haven't worked together yet. So I want to wrestle Kylon King. Because he's a great up-and-coming wrestler. You know who he is?
Yeah.
He's a great up-and-coming wrestler. He's a hell of a guy. Him and the whole Miracle Generation, they're all cool as hell. I've been blessed to know him and network with him for the past year, pretty much. You know what I mean? And, yeah, I really want to go one-on-one with him somewhere.
Any message to the Damage fans out there listening?
Yo, Damage fans, get your tickets to the arena event. That we're stepping into the arena June 30th. You go on 2300arena.com right now and get your tickets. Only $6 until next weekend. After next weekend, those prices are going to go up. So you better get your tickets now, and it's a guaranteed sellout. So you better be there. It's going to be the biggest show in history.
And you're going to see something that Bobby Buffet continues to do, and that's dominate the competition.
100%. I'm coming in there hungry as hell. Leaving, still hungry as hell, but the longest reigning heavyweight champion of all time. That's how I feel about leaving the 2300 arena.
Bobby, as always, man, it's always been a pleasure talking to you, man. I really appreciate your time tonight. And Damage fans, remember, don't keep it nice and neat. Keep it completely damaged on MonkaRadio.com, where music and minds meet. Completely damaged!